afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hello everybody, welcome to Rocksology.
Come on, more energy, more energy. take it again.
Everybody, welcome to
Vanellope.
Rock Solid.
Oh no, it's Vanellope.
I'm adorable.
Let me do Vanellope.
Oh no,
great. Hey, you stink brain! Welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Vanellope, and that's Chocolate Gary, and over there, Strawberry Bellap.
Oh, if you want a great taste sensation, put strawberry on your pizza.
Wolfgang Puck's back, hooray.
Oh, hey, I want to start out the show with some great impressions.
Yeah.
No, a couple weeks ago, I teased an upcoming guest, but I gave misinformation in my clue to the guest.
Okay.
I said that he had released albums that were produced by Ed Stasium, Steve Lillywhite, and I said Mitchell Froom, but that's not correct. It's Mitch Easter.
Oh,
and,
what?
Yeah.
This changes everything.
It changes everything, like unbelievably. So
so you're saying he was produced by a guy I hadn't heard of, not another guy I hadn't heard of?
Right. You should have heard of Mitch
Froom. Easter is a god.
Yeah,
because I'm a dummy. I'm
and also,
I don't know.
Also, T-Burn Burnett. T-Bone Burnett. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that guest. Okay, I was thinking of another guest.
No, this guest.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
This guest is coming up in a couple weeks in February.
Excellent.
I've been produced by T-Burn Bonet.
I've been boned by...
That's what my mom called my dad.
I've been boned by Bernie T-Bird. All right, Gary, how are you doing today?
Oh, man, we're off the rails. This is great.
Crazy train.
We're having a good time.
Exciting.
I'm excited for today's
show.
It's going to be a great show. I got another case file for Law & Order Copycat Edition.
Oh, great.
Should we just get should we just get right to that?
Let's get right to that.
Okay, let's shake it up a little bit. Let's hear the victim in the case first. The
okay.
The song we all know. Should ring a bell.
Yeah. Take on me. Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So this is, we'll let it get to the little riff here.
Boy, do I hate this song.
Why?
I don't know.
It's crazy. You've said that before, and I don't understand it.
I hate everything about it.
You're wrong.
Oh, that's why I hate it right there.
That's it.
Well, then you're going to hate this other song.
Okay. Now let's go to the defendant, the brand new single from The Strokes. See what you think of this. One Way Trick.
Huh.
Close. What do you think? Is there a case?
I think they get off on a technicality, but yeah,
it's close. It's not.
It's not a real lift.
But it's. I would have to get. This is gonna have to go jury trial.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna have to. We're gonna have to call a plea. We might. We'll just keep an eye on this. Yeah.
I feel like what they did is that they kind of inverted the melody.
Oh, all right.
Like it's not exactly the same. It's not. It's like it's backwards.
It's like the Knack when they did My Sharona, and then My Baby Talks Dirty is basically My Sharona the riff backwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But they're plagiarizing themselves there. So
as a music podcast, though, we should have talked about the. The case of Glee v.
Yeah, Jonathan Coulton.
Jonathan Coulton, which was a clear-cut case of stealing. But
what happened?
Like 6 or 7 years ago, I think,
mm-hmm.
Jonathan Coulton was doing a project where he would like put out a new song every week on the internet. And he did a cover of Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Okay.
But he is a folk guitar singer-songwriter mm-hmm. guy. So, and Baby Got Back is a rap song. So
right.
He basically wrote an entire... melody to, you know, to mm-hmm. go with that song, and
right.
he sang it as a song, which is not part of the original song. Okay, cut to a few weeks ago, Glee did a cover of Baby Got Back, and they used his melody, like they took the whole thing, just completely ripped off. And the craziest part was he even changed a lyric to say, instead of saying like, you know, Sir Mix-a-Lot or whatever, I think the line is Mix-a-Lot's in trouble, and I think he said Johnny C's in trouble. And in the Glee version, they say
Johnny C's
in trouble.
Oops.
Well, like, what the fuck?
Smoking gun.
Who's Johnny C on Glee? I don't watch the show. I'm pretty sure there's no Johnny C.
Emily Volman has been Facebooking about this.
Yeah.
So we'll pay the guy some money then.
The problem is because he was doing it as this like Creative Commons license internet project, he mm-hmm. didn't own anything because it was technically a cover of Sir Mix-a-Lot. Now, I would love Sir Mix-a-Lot to jump in and be like, well, pay me, motherfuckers,
yeah.
or whatever. Maybe they did pay him, and so maybe he could kick something back. But it's just it's weird. Like
I say, cancel Glee.
That's the only solution.
That's the only solution is cancel Glee.
I'm almost done reading that David Byrne, How Music Works book.
Oh, yeah, I saw that book.
Fascinating. So interesting. And I won't bore anybody with like all the legal like things here, but...
Why not? I just did.
Musicians are screwed. That's all. That's what
really?
It comes down to. Yeah, none of them have any leg to stand on. And it's amazing that there's any music at all because there's no way to make any money.
Especially now.
Yeah. Oh, especially now. But there's also opportunities. But that's worth reading if...
How Music Works.
You want to hear about...
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. He really names names and talks about, like, you know, I got this much for, you know, the advance for this, and I spend the money on this, you know, and, like, you know, says amounts and everything, you know, just saying.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. And, yeah.
Yeah, I'm reading the Pete Townsend book still. I'm a slow reader.
Yeah, hurry.
But, you know, it's even... It's Who's Next came out with the part I'm out in the book. They still don't have money.
Really?
I mean, this is Tommy, then Who's Next, and he's working on Quadrophenia, and they still kind of, they live in very modest houses. They're not rich by any means. So I don't know when that kicked in for the members of The Who.
So
but it's so weird, yeah, because you just assume, oh, they're all in their castles with their servants.
Well, I think they made a bunch of money up top, but then they spent it all on pinball machines. It's kind of bad money management.
Well, I guess if you break your instruments every night, you don't have any money left.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't understand. I'm so frustrated.
We don't have any money.
I'm going to break this instrument. Oh, boy. You up for some phone calls? You want to see?
Yeah. Yeah, we got some phone calls.
Let's go to the dial.
We need a theme song for our voicemail segment.
Okay. Hush, hush, keep it down. Voicemails carry.
Perfect.
Hey, guys. Cliff from New Hampshire.
Hey,
I don't know if any of you use Spotify, but if you don't, you should check it out.
This is not a paid commercial for Spotify.
To music while you work. I always find myself wishing that we had a playlist at the end of a Spotify playlist at the end of each episode so that I don't say, oh, it's a great song I heard on Rock Solid today. I can never remember it.
That's a lot of work.
Anyway, it's just an idea. If you're into Spotify.
You could do it. That guy could do it.
Playlists would be nice. And people could go back and listen to the full songs that you play. All right. Love the show. Keep it up. Thanks.
I do wonder, I was thinking about that recently, why you guys don't use Spotify, because you're big music lovers. What's holding you back?
I don't own that music, right?
You can, let's see, you don't own it, you can download it.
I have to be able to pick this music up and hold it in my hand.
Right, but you could listen to a zillion things that you probably would never buy. Mostly Gary, I'm asking.
I don't know why I don't fuck around with it, but it's just...
I'll tell you why I don't.
Don't either. You're telling us we should, and then you don't.
No, but I'm not a big music discovery guy. Mm-hmm. I've played with it. You know, it is. I mean, it's amazing on one level, but on another level, it feels kind of dirty. I just know from running a comedy record label how bad the deal is for mm-hmm. artists, and so it kind of bums me out to use it and think about how little people are getting paid. But I mean, labels are getting paid, but the artists mm-hmm. aren't really. So that's one thing.
Is this whole rant so you can plug your comedy label?
Yes. That's why I didn't even choose that voicemail. It was just happenstance.
We had somebody early on who was doing that for us, and if anybody wants to jump in, you're welcome to. But
I'll tell you what, I don't think a lot of this stuff is on Spotify because there are some pretty big holes.
Gaps.
So you might not get complete playlists, but it is. Yeah, that'd be cool for people who use it.
In the meanwhile, if you're ever like stumped or you want to be reminded, we always try to, like, in the photo section, we always try to post everything we play.
Yeah, all the album covers and all the songs. I always put the song. I don't know if Gary always
does. Yeah, I do. And also don't be shy to ask on the Facebook either.
Yeah.
We'll tell you. But thanks. Who else we got on the phone?
We got Dale from Chicago.
I like Dale.
Dale from Chicago. Sweet Street episode. I realized that both of my two favorite songs, both by Springsteen, would fit not just Thunder Road, but also Incident on 57th Street.
Yeah.
Another great tune. Also, it's funny that you played that Peter Wolf song, Riverside Drive, in an episode where you talked about 30 Rock, because I'm pretty sure that's the street that Liz Lemon lives on in 30 Rock. So thanks for a great podcast, guys. You rock.
Making connections.
Wow. That guy is digging deep into what we're doing.
Yeah, I
like it. Thanks.
I would like to say that that's exactly why we did it, but we didn't.
Did you guys catch that finale?
I did. I'm so sad.
I didn't know it was ending so soon.
Oh, my God.
Was it a good finale?
Yeah.
Best series finale.
Sitcom
finale. Yeah,
was it an hour long?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I could probably buy that on iTunes.
If you count, I would love some nerd, a bigger nerd than me, to just count how many jokes are in that episode. I feel like they probably broke the record for number of jokes in an episode.
Had to rewind a lot, yeah.
I know. I kind of want to watch it again because I know I missed
it. I wonder if they'll air it again.
Who knows? Maybe
you can get it on Hulu.
Maybe I can find it on Spotify.
Wait, don't say it like that.
What? Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
That's my voice of anyone that I'm making fun of.
Yes.
They just pulled out all the stops. It was really, I know it's a cliche, but it was a love letter to the fans because it was like a zillion callbacks. Like one of my favorite things ever from 30 Rock is the rural juror.
Yes.
And
can't even say that.
Jenna, do you remember the rural juror?
I do.
Jenna sings the theme from Rural Juror.
Oh, no.
It's farewell. Amazing. Oh, my God. I will never forget you, rural juror. It's so great. I've been singing it all week.
And every time like she would like make a grand announcement and leave and call them like some new insulting name, it was just... just a virtuoso performance.
Yeah,
the writing and stuff. Oh, it's just like, you, what is it? People standing in line at a gay soup kitchen or something like that.
Oh, right. Every time. Yeah, because she was storming out and then would go, like, I'm going to Hollywood. And then she would get there and everyone's like, looks, you know, like a supermodel and she looks like an old lady. So she comes back. She's like, I'm going to Broadway now. But like, oh, yeah, she would always have a different.
Too funny. Yeah. Anyway, one more call, I think we got.
Yeah, Garrett from Houston.
Hey guys, this is Baird in Houston. I just listened to the Street Song episode, and I kind of can't believe no one played Baker Street.
Oh,
Gary Rafferty. Yeah, he's right.
And I also wanted to once again request the Stuttering Song episode.
Oh, right.
I think there's a lot of rich material there.
If you tell us 12 songs that have stuttering in it, we'll do it.
Bye.
It's not a bad suggestion, but there might be...
I think that's really hard.
We keep trying to have, like, thinking about maybe, like, a section for the top of the show where it's, like, something that couldn't hold the whole show, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we might get to that.
Or a grab bag show where we do, like, two or three from different topics.
That'd be cool.
Either.
But, by the way, I can't believe we didn't play Gray Street by the Dave Matthews Band. Come on, guys. We're going to do Streets.
Quite an oversight, yes. But I love that solo in Baker Street.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And just to let everyone know, the 30 Rock finale is on iTunes.
Thank God.
And Hulu for free. Don't pay for it.
It's called Hogcock / Last Lunch is the name of the episode.
Hogcock.
Yeah. So buy that from iTunes. Or Matt says watch it for free.
Or call us at 330-81-ROCKS.
Why don't you want to pay for anything, man? Spotify and
Well, that
Hulu.
Was a show that was on television for free. It was broadcast over the air with commercials, and that's how
what if
Hulu
I want to
it.
Purchase it and then keep it on my person forever? Because
well,
it's
then
the
buy
greatest.
It. Great. Buy it.
Spotify.
You both make good points.
You want to talk about this topic today?
Yeah, yeah. That closes new business. And the topic today, this was a Pat Francis joint. Our second show was about second albums.
Right. Sophomore Surge. That was your
Surge.
Idea.
And then and was our first show about debut albums?
Yeah, we had a debut album.
So this, 82 shows later, we get around to...
third albums.
Third albums.
Because I was watching a documentary and Jimmy Iovine was on it and he was saying how third albums are often really the make or break album for a lot of bands. So they have to bring it or... it might be done. So Gary and I picked third albums that brought it, that really pushed the band over the top. And how did you do it, Gary? The same way?
Yeah, pretty much where it was like some kind of artistic or commercial or creative turning point. So your idea, your away. What do you got?
So I don't know. Do you have that guy from Jersey on your list?
I don't.
Neither do I. Okay. I don't have him on my list either. I mean, but that's a quintessential third album.
Perfect example.
Is Born to Run.
First two records
well,
did no
that?
Business.
What's Born to Run now?
Oh, it's this. go to Spotify.
Okay, cool.
First two albums did no business.
Right.
And then he said this was his last chance. He put everything into it. And
it worked.
Kaboom.
Would you call it his last chance power drive?
Yeah.
It's like on a last chance power drive.
Yeah, and it's still great to this day is Born to Run. But I'm going to start out with a band from Sheffield, England. Teenagers. First album is okay. Second album, better. And some people think it's, you know, really good. But then Pyromania from Def Leppard comes out. And that is an undeniable leap of third albums.
Now, I don't know what songs are on what albums, other than I know Pour Some Sugar on Me was Hysteria. But what was on the first two?
You got your that Photograph.
We well, here, I'll,
you
let
got
me,
your Rock of Ages.
Let me jump to some playlisting stuff here.
You got your
no questions we're going to
read. Are you checking Spotify for this?
You got your
No, I'm just going to. No way. So, like the second album it has... Bringing On the Heartbreak and High and Dry. But then Pyromania has Rock Till You Drop and Photograph and Foolin' and Rock of Ages. And the song I want to play, because I didn't want to play the hits. I wanted to maybe play a song that you might not have known. So if we could take it at 48 seconds from Pyromania, this is Coming Under Fire.
Now, is that the original recording or that weird re-recording they did?
No, this is the original Mutt Lange produced album. And I guess when they were recording Pyromania, I guess Mutt would just keep saying, no, do it again. We can do it better.
Wow.
We can do it better. And that was just nonstop. And the drummer had two arms for this album.
Yeah.
So the drum sounds much fuller.
It's like double.
So I think that's an undeniable third album breakthrough.
Yeah,
Pyromania.
It's interesting to listen to albums like that with a lot of hits that you never like to hear the connective tissue of a song
right,
like that.
Right. I've never heard that song.
Yeah, well,
you should Spotify that.
I should. What was I going to say about? Oh, yeah. I don't know. That's so funny to me that like in the 80s, metal was kind of at least I was 10 or 12 when this came out. It seemed scary and weird and like whoa, but you hear it now. It's just rock and
it's
roll.
Just rock and roll.
Like, I'm always amazed at like what was dangerous, and then like Motley Crue. I don't know. You can't find more mainstream rock music than Motley Crue. But at the time, everyone was like, they're devil worshippers. Don't go near them.
That's like when I was a kid and I would have my Kiss album, and my mom would just be, oh, Patrick, why are you listening?
Yeah.
And it is so like three chords.
It's so down the middle.
Stupid.
Yeah. It's just crazy.
Bass rock and roll.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, Kiss is the most extreme from the image to the music.
To the music.
Because I never heard them. I just saw them. And I was like, whoa!
What the hell?
Yeah, I thought it was a horror movie.
I know.
Not a band, but yeah.
You should see them without makeup. Now that's a horror movie.
Get behind me, devil.
Gene Simmons invented Spotify. A lot of people don't know that.
It's quite true.
People like their music. They don't like to buy it.
You don't want to pay for it.
Here's an example of the third album, Kablooey, a group out of Montreal by way of Dallas, Texas. First album, critically acclaimed on the internet. Second album, a little darker, but, solidifies the fan base. Third album, Grammy-winning album of the year. Talking about Arcade Fire and the Suburbs, here's a part of Ready to Start. Listen to this.
I was pure, you know I would. If I was
forget, they won that award. Everyone was going, huh?
Huh?
And then they just launched into that song, yeah, right? Right after winning, and it was fucking awesome. And
it's
everyone
a revolution,
was still,
motherfuckers!
Everyone was still like, what is happening? Who are these people? There's like 40 people on stage. Yeah. It was crazy.
That was a good Grammy.
Hard to make money when you have 40 people in the band. Yeah. The split is not good.
Not good.
Yeah, I think some of those were just like, they're cousins or something, just hanging out.
And
is that guy playing a paper guitar? What's going on?
And it was, as I'm sure we all agree, that it was as exciting as this most recent Grammys that aired this week.
Oh, what a fantastic night of winners and losers.
Yes.
Even the losers were winners.
Big surprise.
They were nominated. Some surprises and some not surprises, but great performances. And Pat would have gotten to go to the rehearsal, but he's going to San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I went to San Francisco.
Hey, thanks for coming to our shows.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was invited to go to the Grammy rehearsals, but it was the same the same day we were leaving for San Francisco.
Man.
So
what if you would have locked Crazy Wolf Eyes with Carly Rae Jepsen?
She does have Crazy Wolf Eyes.
Anyway, give you
now
number.
One more thing about that song, because there was a video for that song.
Oh, okay,
and it was awesome. It was just a bunch of kids running around what looked like a post-apocalyptic subdevelopment or housing development, And someone told me that they were making like a whole movie.
Oh.
And what happened?
I don't know. That's never a good idea, though. That's like Idlewild time.
But, yeah, but I think... Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah, remember that? No, but I think it was like Spike Jonze or somebody cool doing something, and I don't know if it ever happened or not.
I don't know.
It seemed like it was like going to be a zombie movie. Or I don't know what it was.
Dead Bear's looking into.
All right. Look Maybe it up. It was, someone tell me. I don't want to do the work.
It turned into Perks of Being a Wallflower. Anyway.
Well, let me just tell you, there is no audience for zombie movies.
Yeah,
I'm going on record right now. People don't like that.
It's over.
I'm going to jump to my next choice.
Yeah,
let's do that.
This is arguably one of the biggest bands of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not even arguably.
All right.
They are. Right, Matt?
Yeah.
I got a bone with that. Anyway, go
this
ahead.
This is their third album. First albums are good, mm-hmm. but then this album really blows it wide open. I'm talking about U2 and War.
Oh, good.
And I'm going to play one of my favorite songs on that album. If we drop it into 20 seconds, Matt, mm-hmm. Two Hearts Beat as One. I love that song so much.
Awesome. I actually had this on my list.
Oh, you did? You had War?
Yeah, down in the extra innings.
In case
we ended in a tie.
All right.
But I think that's going to be great. Yeah, that was The Edge had hair back then, but I just love the idea, like kind of attacking like a love song with that kind of grandeur.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like as a teen, you know, when you're, anyway.
Yeah, I wonder how much was owed to MTV, because my Pyromania and War, both in 83, I wonder how much is owed to MTV on that.
Yeah. Those first two albums got some run a little bit, but yeah, that's definitely.
I actually have another album from '83 coming up. That's weird.
Ooh,
but let's go to Gary.
I can't wait. This is an album by an artist who kind of like, you know, has had like several careers, but this was his third solo album, and talking about Neil Young and After the Gold Rush, and this is the first song on the first side. It's called "Tell Me Why."
Sailing hardships through. Broken harbors out on the waves in the night. Still a searcher must ride the dark horse, racing along in his fright. Tell me why. Tell me why. Is it hard to make arrangements with yourself when you're old enough to repay but young enough to sell?
beautiful.
Very nice.
Crazy Horse, not getting enough props for their vocals. But yeah, that's got Only Love Can Break Your Heart. It's got your Southern Man. It's got your title track there.
Oh, Southern Man, that song is going to get the guys from
Fired them
Leonard
up.
Skinner all fired up.
They did not care for that one bit.
Yeah, well, they look what happened to them. Their plane went down.
Accident.
Do you think Neil Young had something to do with their plane going down?
I don't know. But we were musing that James Taylor might have had something to do with apartheid, because that Rodriguez guy we were talking about in Searching for Sugar Man, he kind of had a James Taylor-esque voice. So I think he organized the whole thing.
All right.
Yeah. I think he's responsible.
JT.
Yeah. I mean, I know he's up to no good.
Clearly.
He's trying to lull us all into a zombified state. So you can take over.
Yes.
Like, yeah, this boring music. Well,
beautiful guitar playing, beautiful voice. James Taylor.
By the way, yeah, that Spike Jonze movie, it's a 30-minute short film called Scenes from the Suburbs.
Oh, okay.
That was excerpted in that music video.
Excellent.
Thank you for clearing
answered
that
my
up.
Own question.
Nice.
Fantastic. Could have answered that in your head.
Was there other...
I don't want people to know. They don't have to look at them now.
Other songs from the album, or just that one?
I think there are... Yeah, I think there are different songs from the Suburbs album. Yeah.
Oh, nice. I wonder if he's making a movie. Arcade Fire's making an album. That should be out.
Yeah, I think it's coming out this year.
So anyway. Dad, I think you're up, Pat.
We, this guy is the inventor, no matter what Gene and Paul say. He's the inventor of this type of music, this shock rock genre. Okay. Sure. This is Alice Cooper.
Ah.
His first two albums, Pretty's for You and Easy Action, were released on Frank Zappa's Straight Records label, and they did nothing. They don't have any songs you know on them. There's just nothing on there. Uh-huh. So then they get signed with Warner Brothers, and they hook up with a producer named Bob Ezrin. And they produce an album called Love It to Death with the classic song called I'm 18.
Ooh.
So let's drop it in at 23 seconds. Little Alice Cooper.
Life's foam on my face and hands. Life's foam from the ups and downs. I'm in the middle without any plan.
On the Behind the Music, Bob Ezrin, when he listened to their demos, he goes, you know what song I really like? I like that one, I'm Edgy. And they're like, well, you don't have a song, Edgy. Yeah, I'm Edgy. And they're like, no, it's I'm 18. And he's like, oh.
Now I don't like that much.
No, now I like it even better.
Oh, okay.
I'm Edgy. You know what song I really like? I like that one about eight beans. No, Bob, still the same song. It's I'm 18.
I'm eight beans. Tortilla dip.
No,
eight
no.
Bean, I added an extra chip.
Mr. Ezrin, you are wrong. I like your parodies, though, man. Okay, Gary, you're up.
Oh, man, this is hilarious.
I think we're picking good ones today.
Yeah. This is... this
our
is
other
one.
84 shows sucked, but this now, one, we're into a groove today.
They say
wait,
for
this
podcasts,
is 84, isn't it?
Or 83 shows, yeah.
Oh. Well, then this one sucks.
They say for a podcast, make or break is the 84th show.
That's what they do.
If you could get it going.
You can get to 84.
Here's a group that kind of, they sort of like closed a chapter in their career and then decided to be like, well, enough of this accessibility. We're going to start making crazy records, and somehow got more successful. But to me, this was their kind of artistic high point. I'm talking about Radiohead, OK Computer, and we'll hear a little bit of Let Down.
Yeah.
guitar sounds really nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
Okay, computer.
Okay. It's always funny to think about when they first came out, they were sort of lumped into that, like, it's England's answer to grunge, you know?
Right,
like,
exactly, yeah, with Creep.
Yeah, it was just so weird, and then what they ended up being was, like, crazy light years beyond what they were doing at that time.
They had a lot of things on their mind.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they continue to... innovate and excite, and I wish they wouldn't. I wish they would just like stay in one place, give me what I like over and over again.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
But anyway, but that's okay. How about you, Pat? What do you got?
This is a band. I guess best known for hanging out at CBGB's.
Okay.
They're fronted by a lady who's blonde.
Right, right.
The band is Blondie.
Oh, okay.
And first two albums are good. But then they hook up with producer Mike Chapman to produce Parallel Lines with such songs as Hanging on the Telephone and One Way or Another. And
Always Touched by Your Presence, Dear?
That's not on this one.
It isn't?
No, it's not. And Heart of Glass. We can edit that out, make Gary
what?
Sound like he knows
Wait,
what he's doing.
He seems... we gotta
anyway, but that's fine.
I can tell you right now that Touched by Your Presence is... was on Plastic Letters.
Oh man, I feel like a dope.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah.
But the song I'm choosing to play off Blondie's Parallel Lines is a song called Picture This.
Yes.
Drop.
Picture this.
She sounds so young.
I know.
I remember reading an interview at the time. I was like 11 or 12, and we'd sing about what the kids are into, like that part about, you know, I'll give you my finest hour watching you shower. That's what the kids do these days. I'm like, oh, shit, I don't know what the kids are into. I'm so behind.
And they're currently making the CBGB movie.
Oh.
And I can't pronounce this actress's name that's playing Debbie Harry.
Panettiere.
Malene or Malin Ackerman?
Oh, Malin Ackerman.
Malin Ackerman.
Yeah,
thank you, Matt.
She's on Children's Hospital. She's
going to be Debbie Harry.
That's awesome. Yeah, she's got the cheekbones.
And Alan Rickman is going to be Hilly Crystal.
That's
I think it's pronounced Billy Crystal.
No. It's with an A. It's Hilly. Hilly Crystal.
You look marvelous.
I hope they like... I don't know how you can make that a movie.
I don't know how you make that a movie either.
But, you know, other than it's just going to be like people are showing up like, hi, I'm Richard Hell. You know,
yeah. I know the floor of the set is all sticky.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's how much one we thing. Tell. Did you ever make it there to
CBGB? Never made it to CBGB's.
I went there one time, and it was neat. It was, you could definitely sense the history, but, yeah, it's not.
Did you do coke in the bathroom?
Well, sure. I mean.
All right, cool.
Then such a line to get to the lines.
We're done, man. That's all I need to know, if you did coke.
No, I did not. I never, that was one thing I never got to.
You guys ever watch Palladia, that channel? That
a little bit, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were showing a Blondie concert, and I just kind of left it on there, and they... They did a they started playing a song called Break Your Heart, and you might know it or you might not. It goes, I'm only gonna break your heart. And I was like, whoa, was this a Blondie song first? And then
no.
I looked it up, like, no, that's Tayo Cruz. The
nice.
Yeah, he's like
the Dynamite guy.
Yeah, that guy, dance club kind of. And I was like, whoa, they just covered Tayo Cruz. That blew my
mind. That's pretty cool.
And it sounded good. They made it their own. They made it sound like a Blondie song. That's why I was like baffled.
Way to go, Blondie.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. I like it when they
still got it.
Stay with it like that.
I'm quoting the gruff tattoo artist on the Sunset Strip. I love this. I probably told this before, but when I was getting a touch up on my tattoo, and
was this recently?
No, this is like 10. When did that song Maria come out?
That was like 2000 or 1999.
Yeah, 1999.
So when that song came out. I was getting this tattoo, or maybe I was with a friend who was getting a tattoo. Anyway, this guy was like, that song was playing, and this guy, just picture like a Hell's Angel biker dude, you know, leather vest, beard. He was like,
Debbie Harry still got it.
That Maria is a pretty great song.
Yeah. She still got it.
Gary, yeah. You're up.
This is one that's, I guess it didn't really like rocket them into public consciousness or anything, but just at the time. And
is this going to be one where you go regionally? This was
regionally. This is, well, like in the region of like, you know, internet. This is like one of those like first, like, you know, big like internet like sensations, because you know they had a couple of albums and people had heard of them, but then like this one came out, got the perfect 10 on Pitchfork, and just like, you know, listened to it all that summer and stuff. It's a group from Texas called And You Will Know Us by the Trail of the Dead. Have you ever heard that?
I have.
By the Trail of the Dead. And the third album was called Source Codes and Tags. I'm sorry, Source Tags and Codes. And it's just, you know, atmospheric but rocking, and like felt like it just got visceral and got you in the guts. We're going to hear a little bit of Another Morning Stoner. Sweet taste of Trail of Dead, as they're.
Yeah, I think we're all familiar with that breakout song.
Anyway, that's a good album to listen to. If you're,
and say way. The name of the band again.
And you'll know it's by Trail of the Dead.
I think this is one of a band that Mike Schmidt likes a lot. I think he turned me into them.
If you're really into him like I am, you call him AYWKUBTTOD.
Of course you do. This is my other. I'm going to play my other album from '83. Again, I think this had a lot to do with MTV. Breakout, and if you know him like I do, if you're a big fan, you just call him BA, or you just call him Bad Adams. This is Brian Adams from the album Cuts Like a Knife. This had some big hits.
Once
this
again,
time.
You refuse to play the hits.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, we know the hits, so let's hear something else that you don't know. So
some of the younger guys might not know.
Then it's Straight from the Heart, Cuts Like a Knife this time.
Right.
But I chose to play a song called Only One. You never heard that song, did you?
Nope.
It's a good Brian Adams song.
And I never heard that either. It sounds kind of cool. It sounds like some of those late replacement albums.
Yeah.
It could have been on All Shook Down or something like that.
That's my favorite Cuts Like It. You know, a lot of these albums are my favorite albums by the bands themselves, too. And that's definitely my favorite Brian Adams album. Have it autographed. He wrote blah, blah on it. And there's a picture of that on my Facebook page.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah.
It's terrible.
To quote Dracula.
You're up, Gary.
Empire. These guys, speaking of blood, this is from the album White Blood Cells. You're like, are these guys some kind of novelty act or something? They dress all crazy. And
what's their deal?
It was strange.
Are they brother and sister? Husband and wife?
Then this third album comes out and they're like, oh, I get it. He's some kind of devil spawn fusion of Robert Johnson and Iggy Pop or something like that. It's The White Stripes, and the album was called White Blood Cells. And let's hear a little Hotel Yorba. Your Fell in Love with a Girl. It's got your Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground.
Yeah.
Your We Are Gonna Be Friends, a nice song. But yeah, that's a good album.
So good.
That third sounds album. Really great.
Third album by the White Stripes.
Yeah, I think Matt gave me the bunch of White Stripes stuff.
Yeah, I never heard about it. Never heard from them again. You say, hey, give me a hug me up with that.
Oh, no, I liked it a lot. Because it was a band where I'm thinking what I thought, forget it. And then
I
love
it. Deal.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Think they'll ever record again, or is he just going to go off and do all?
I hope so. I do feel like there's something unique about those two. Like even his solo album was great.
I love the Raconteurs.
Raconteurs is great, but just like that raw, just fucking
seems like the natural state thing. Of it. But yeah. But maybe like, I bet they'll do it when they're 50 or something like that. Or
maybe.
Yeah.
So in 2 years.
Yeah. Right. Something like that. Yeah.
What's Howard Kramer's joke about that? Like the White Stripes have broken up. Meg is going to continue on with the White Stripes. They're looking for a genius, innovative songwriter, guitar, organ playing art, you know. Like,
that's good. That is very carry funny. On, though. Yeah. That's funny.
That's excellent. All right, we're going to jump into some hard rocking from the 70s.
Nice.
A band that had a resurgence in the late 80s and 90s. We're talking about the Bad Boys of Boston.
That's right.
Going to go with Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Their first two albums are good, but then Toys in the Attic from 1975. Toys in the Attic, by the way, that means you're crazy. Gary, you have Toys in the Attic.
I never heard that. Is that
yeah,
what that means?
Yeah, you got Toys in the Attic. This is, has two of their biggest hits, which I'm not going to play because we're tired of them. Yeah. Walk This Way and Sweet Emotion, but that would be in the category of they have to play it.
Yeah,
right. That would be a good topic for a show. But
yeah,
then
when
just
you go
hear,
to see them, like, oh, they
they've got
to
play. They can't not play "Walk This Way" and "Sweet Emotion." But I'm choosing a song from the album produced by Jack Douglas. This is.
Can I guess? Can I make a wish?
Yeah, go ahead.
No More, No More.
Yes.
Yes.
Play it. 26 seconds in. That's that 70s sound that they promised us on the new album that didn't happen.
That 70s sound.
You liars.
When I worked on Singing Bee, we had one of those guess the lyric shows hosted by Joy Fatone. It was, we'd get these big lists of like cleared songs and then like the producers would like try to like, you know, assemble a show and make a case for it. And I was like, I went to bat hard for No More, No More. Like, oh, everybody knows that. Everybody knows the lyrics to that. Come on.
It's a great song.
Did not make it.
I've never heard it.
Did not make it.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It
was
cool. Because you don't like Aerosmith, right?
No, I do. I'm the sucker who, because when I grew up, I like, you know.
You like Hey Day Aerosmith.
I identify with the 80s.
That's fine.
And early 90s stuff.
That's fine.
Yeah. Big ones you can look at. How's that music video compilation from 94?
Big ones that you can look at.
Yeah.
Big ones that you can look at.
Video compilation. It's pretty good. It's not bad. Rockers don't have a good sense of humor.
Wasn't the, because the, I think the greatest hits from that time was called Big Ones.
Big Ones, yeah.
And I think the cover was, what was the cover? Because
it's a bad cover. I can't even explain it.
Because that was right after Get a Grip, which was a cow's udder with a Aerosmith tattoo on it. Which, by the way, I don't think that the PETA was very happy about that. Yeah.
Here's the cover of Big Ones. It's just it's terrible.
Oh, right, right.
It's just like a...
But now look up Big Ones You Can Look At. Did they do something funny? Hilarious.
They didn't.
A hilarious visual pun.
We know who the funny one is in that band. It's Steven Tyler. No, it's just a variation of
the same thing.
It's handwriting in there.
Big Ones.
What are you, butthead?
He said Big Ones.
Yeah, Big Ones, Big Ones, Big Ones.
Gary's up.
In the world in the hipster rock circles, when you talk about third albums, there's only one, really, and that's Big Star's Third, a.k.a. Sister Lovers.
How'd they come up with that name?
It was their third album.
What?
And they love their sisters.
And they love their sisters. That this was number 449 on Rolling Stone's top 500 albums of all time.
Hey, it made it.
It snuck in there in the top 10%. Yeah, but or the 80. But anyway, this was the thing about that is like there's no official version. It's so weird. They recorded in 74 and then they kind of broke up and went their separate ways. Somebody finally put it out in 78. And you know, and that was like, really hard to find. And then it came out again in like 85 and 92, and like, and every version's been different. All the, you know, so like, there's no like definitive.
Yeah, like this is the correct sequencing. This is the songs that are supposed to be on it. It's kind of a hodgepodge.
Yeah, exactly. But it's so sad. There's so many sad songs, and then there's some of those like, you know, power pop nuggets that you like, and then there's this, which is kind of like somewhere in between,
which is unlistenable.
Unlistenable. No, it's kind of it's a weird Christmas song. It's a cover. It's called Jesus Christ. Listen to this.
Right.
This kind of happening. Starts out with this, but then it gets rocking. Put that on your hipster Christmas mix.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, produced by Jim Dickinson, who did like Wild Horses and some other Stonesy things and a lot of cool things.
And just because you're throwing out the stats on this, Toys in the Attic was number 228
on
Rolling Stones.
Well, hey, it's not a pissing contest.
500. And my next third album was recorded at Sound City Studios.
So
Dave Grohl would love that this was recorded through the Magic Board.
Yeah.
This was ranked at number 313 on the Rolling Stone magazine's 500 greatest albums of all time. I've probably played this entire album at some point on this show. So I'm actually going to break tradition.
He's going to play the hit.
I'm
going to
play a hit.
Here we go.
I'm going to play a hit. This is Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Oh.
This is from Damn the Torpedoes. And dropping into 14 seconds, I'm not going to say the title. I was talking with a friend of mine, said a woman that hurt his pride. Told him that you loved him so, and turn around and let him go. Then he said, you better watch your step, or you're going to get hurt yourself. Someone's going to tell you lies, cut you down to size. Don't do me like that. Don't do me like that. Well, I love you, baby. Don't do me like that. This album is like, I don't know what it is about this album. This is like when I think of, you know, in high school in 79, this was like my album. This is just like, this was my thing. I mean, that album cover, when I heard Don't Do Me Like That on the radio, and I go, oh, I got to seek out what this is, because I never heard Tom Petty, and I didn't associate him with American Girl or Breakdown for some reason. Maybe I hadn't even heard those songs at that point. And then I see this album cover, and there's this punky looking dude on the front. It's like, is that Nick Gilder? What's going? And it's just, this really lyrically, the whole deal just makes me feel something about that time period. I don't know what it is, but I really love this album.
Didn't Jimmy Iovine have something to do with this album?
Oh yeah, yeah. He produced this. Him and Tom Petty produced this together.
Yeah, so maybe that's where he got that notion, because it was like, it wasn't just great itself, but it was like there was something fertile about it. Like, you know, there's plenty more where this came from. Because we thought we've and his first album seems like a stepping stone.
And the second album I like a lot too, but just something about this, I don't know what it is.
I love the phrasing. Every time I hear that song on the radio, I just notice how the phrasing is so succinct and perfect in the verses like that. I was talking with a friend of mine, said a woman had hurt his pride. Like, it's so, yep, I love that.
Funky singing and kind of behind the beat drumming a little bit. And yeah, it's just sweet. Yeah, Damn the Torpedoes.
Bring it, Tom.
Full speed ahead. And
by the way, Parallel Lines by Blondie.
Mm-hmm.
Ranked at number 140 on 500 greatest albums of all time.
Crushing Aerosmith.
Yeah,
Tom Petty.
Crushing it, I know.
And did you know that Damn the Torpedoes was And the old that was the former expression for "come at me, bro."
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's what they would say, you know, when you're in a when you're a dude and you're about to get into a fight.
No, let's bring that. That's not what that means at all.
That's not what that means at all.
let's start using.
What
that.
Was it though? It's some sort of a military. Like it has some.
Yeah, it was like a military thing, and was it World War II? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they. Yeah,
oh,
they
didn't look it up.
No, no. Oh, giggle it.
Hate my job.
I hate my job.
Ouch.
Just a little teaser. I know it's your turn, Gary. A little teaser. My next album is not in the Rolling Stone
really?
Top 500.
Interesting.
A quotation attributed to David Farragut, referring to an order given at the Battle of Mobile Bay.
Well, we don't use that word on this show.
Farragut.
Yeah. Come on. That's derogatory.
All right, Pat. This is an album from 94 where I just learned to stop worrying and love Pearl Jam. Like, all right, I resisted.
Yes.
This is, I'm not going to, I'm just going to give in. Because, you know, they were, like, popular. And, like, kind of jocks liked them and said, like, I'm not going to do that. But then you cannot deny the rocking power of Corduroy.
Yeah.
Listen to some of this.
Pretty good.
So it's kind of inscrutable, but I heard him explain it once that what that song's about is like, you know, he had this brown corduroy jacket that he got in a thrift store that he'd wear, and then they blew up, and all of a sudden there's like $500 corduroy jackets, and there was like a grungy looking guy on General Hospital. All of a sudden it was played by Ricky Martin,
of course,
all people, and he was wearing like that jacket and everything, and everybody's like, Jesus. So that's kind of like a protest against that.
Next thing, you're going to be wearing my flannel.
That was Tim Gunn. It's any better in the new CBGB. Movie. Make it work, Stone Gossard.
I'm telling you. Blondie still got it.
By the way, that album has maybe my favorite Pearl Jam song ever, Better Man.
Better Man.
Yeah, so great. And that that was one of the first, I think maybe the first.
Is that Vitology?
Yeah, that's Vitology. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe the first Eco Wallet release of a CD.
Oh, perhaps.
Instead of a jewel case.
Yeah, it was like a cardboard-y.
It actually was all cardboard, and it just the CD just slid into it.
And did you like it, or were you mad at it?
Well, it is like from an OCD standpoint, it doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit on the shelf.
It is oddly shaped. It's actually square, I think, instead of rectangular, like it's perfectly square, but it is cool because it looks like an old apothecary's notebook or something
with
stop fucking with my shelving system.
But it definitely stood out. That CD case sat on the passenger seat of my car for like a whole year probably.
Nice. Third album.
I'm finding a trend here. It seems like the third album in a lot of the cases for me is maybe they brought in a different producer, bigger name or someone with a little bit more chops to break out the band. This album, again, this is not on the top 500 Rolling Stone, but it did spend 8 weeks at number one on the Billboard 200. This is Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet.
Okay.
And again, I'm not playing a hit. I'm going to play a deeper album cut. This might be the last song on the album. This is Wild in the Streets. Joey is in this song.
Yay. He's still talking tough.
I know. So that cymbal, such 80s production on this thing.
What do they call that when you hit the center of the cymbal, that little...
The ride?
Showing off?
Bullseye.
They call it the bullseye?
I don't know what they call it.
But, man, the production on that sounds so
80s.
Trebly and 80s, and, yeah. And I haven't listened to that for a long time.
I wonder if they ever played that song in concert, ever once.
I don't know.
Yeah, probably back at the time. They're probably opening with it.
Yeah, they probably... They,
but that, that album had like 8 hits on it.
I know.
So, like, I don't know if they would ever need to get to that one. Especially because they had a bunch of
material songs before
that.
Yeah.
Did I ever talk about the time when I worked at Tower Records when this came out and I peed inside of a copy? Like somebody dared me to, and
nice.
I just like,
yes.
And I pretended like I was browsing, and I just sort of like.
We were talking about album covers. Here's the rejected Wet T-shirt cover from Slippery Woman.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
If people don't know that story, like they went, they had that. It was too racy. So they sprayed, they blew up a garbage bag, a black garbage bag with air.
Sprayed it with water and just wrote Slippery One Wet on it. And
took a picture of it.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm looking at it right now. And it sounds goofy to say about Bon Jovi, but it's an iconic album cover.
It's like a smell the glove situation. Yeah.
And Bon Jovi, they've got a logo that they've used, you know, on every album too. So it's that Bon Jovi typeset, but, that's it.
If you go on dafont.com, as I love to do for your fonts, you could get some like a nice Bon Jovi font.
I used to love that character from Happy Days, Dafont.
Oh, Dafont, yeah.
You would be like B.
Yeah, all of his letters. Yeah, he just had the one. Well, Pat, I'm like, this is one where I've played every other song on the album, so we're down to this. But favorite album of the 2000s, resisted him, like was hearing all about him. Oh, you got to hear this. No, I'm not going to like it. And then like I heard it. And I was like, oh, it's all I wanted to hear for a certain amount of time. This is a, brought in the producer, Chris Walla from Death Cab for Cutie. And for me, it all came together. This is a love song.
Did Chris Walla produce Dishwalla?
I was just going to say, I was going to use that joke.
I wish he did. But this is the Decemberist, Picaresque. And we both go down together. Romeo and Juliet story, and spoiler alert, he rapes her, and then he kills her, and then he commits suicide.
Jesus Christ.
Just brought the show to a halt.
Back in the old...
What do you mean, but that's what happened?
Back in the old days.
That's what happened.
In the old days, that's what happened. But, that reminds me, Petra Hayden played violin on that tour, and she... we're in the middle of our Petra Hayden Goes to the Movies giveaway. Just write a review on iTunes of Rock Solid, the podcast, how much you love it. And one winner will be drawn at random at the end of this week. And they'll get a copy of that great new album where she sings movie songs.
Excellent.
Yes. Yes. So anyway, so that's, you know, I always got more, but, you know.
I got one more.
Okay, let's hear it.
You played the Decemberists, which means I'm going to have to play some Cheap Trick.
Yes, that's fair. Quit
this
for
a is, quote. This is my second Sound City Studios album.
Uh-huh.
And although this isn't really, I mean, the breakout for them obviously is Budokan. Mm, I mean, that's like Kiss Alive for Kiss. It breaks. But as far as studio albums, the third album, Heaven Tonight, is where I think they really got it all together, sound and the whole thing. It's still my favorite Cheap Trick album. And Surrender's on that album. But I'm going to play a song you might not have heard. This is called On Top of the World.
Oh, yeah.
Bass.
Oh, you can drop us in at 34 seconds, actually. I didn't tell you that.
She was
the Sound City Sound.
Of the it is the Sound City Sound.
Neil Young after the Gold Rush. We heard that earlier. Sound City.
Excellent.
Yes. Little Steven, he said no. He said, I'm not going to play Sound City.
Search for Sugar. That is that's a Pat Francis approved joke right there. That's terrific. If you ever hear me say that joke, pretend like you didn't hear Gary say it.
Okay,
that's hysterical.
Matt, are you looking for a playout?
Yeah, you got a third?
I got one, but you've got one more and you've got one more.
Well, no, I have one. My last one was just, She's the One from Springsteen, but that's just the quintessential third album, okay. Born to Run, and you don't need to play it. Everyone knows.
Well, Pat, I think Gary should play this one more.
Okay, Gary can play one more.
Are we talking about Queen is Dead? You want to hear a little bit of that? This is the quintessential Smith song. Like, it's the Smithiest Smiths you could get from their third album. Their awesome album, Queen is Dead. And this is called There is a Light That Never Goes Out. Take me out tonight. You could see him on a fainting couch singing this. Driving in your car, I never want to go home, because I haven't got one anymore. Take me out tonight, because I want to see people and I want to see life. Driving in your car, oh please don't drop me home, because it's not my home, it's their home, and I'm welcome no more. And if a double-decker bus crashes into us, to die by your side is such a heavenly way. So romantic.
Oh, April Richardson will love that you played that.
April is our cover girl this week on the on our Facebook page. If you go to that, this is we're looking into the future from where we sit now. But
I didn't know we had cover
girls. I didn't know we had cover girls either.
We always have a little artwork changing on the page.
Yeah.
Of, so she's our cover girl.
Yeah. There's a picture of her on her vacation to Greece, and she's standing on the medal stand in the Olympic Stadium, and she's standing on the third place one, going
nice.
So,
yeah.
And what episode would that be for?
This one.
Episode 84. The third albums. Thirds. She's in third place. She's anyway.
Oh, I don't get it.
See, she was in Greece, and she stood on the third place podium.
She played Rizzo.
I'm still thinking about Little Steven not playing Sound City.
I see. But yeah, April used to host like a Smith show on 103. Yeah.
She's big into that, and Billy Bragg. Yes. Don't get her started.
Indeed.
Anyway, so that's it for me.
Thirds.
Great show.
This is a hard one to pull off the top of my head, because I don't really know tons of different, like, I don't think of things in terms of what the third album of
something
was.
Check your head. I think you're a
singles
guy.
I think you're a single. You're like more of a singles guy.
I think Gary's right. I think I should just check my head and think of something from the Beastie Boys. You know, people may not know, or they probably do, but I don't know. I'll tell the story anyway. The Beastie Boys, you know, they were a punk band. They put out probably an EP or something. Then they signed with Def Jam. They made this humongous album that I think they made as a joke, probably, or they claim they did. And it became, you know, frat guy's favorite album of 1986, and they hated that. And so they followed it up with all this pressure. They left Def Jam. They went to Columbia. They followed it up with a very weird sort of experimental concept album called Paul's Boutique that crashed and burned. And then I think they come out to L.A. to record that, and I think they just kind of got stranded here. And they're like, what do we do? They're like, oh, I know. We'll rent this empty thing above a pharmacy in Atwater Village and pick up our instruments again and just start fucking around with this guy that we met named Mario Caldado. And we'll see what happens. So they made this album, Check Your Head, that's like it's kind of roughly one third rap, one third not even a third, but a little less than a third punk, and then a third just kind of instrumental. It was like when they first started dabbling in their instrumental stuff, and that kind of became the formula for them after that. although they bounced around a bit and did more rap-heavy albums and one totally instrumental album. But this one brings it all together, and I feel like this song kind of brings it all together. And I just love this album so much. It has So What You Want and Pass the Mic and a lot of great songs on it. But this is called...
Does it also have the song Get On With The Story? Is that on this one?
Damn!
This is just a little bit of history. This is what the show's about.
I know, I'm kidding.
Educational.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, this. If you don't like rap or even the Beastie Boys, just check out this album. I think you'll find something to enjoy on it because there's all different flavors.
My favorite music is Wrap It Up.
Oh, damn.
What the?
That was on a good fire.
So call 330-81-ROCKS if you want to leave a message.
Yes.
Like the Facebook and follow the Twitter. And we'll see you next time on Rock Solid.
See you guys.
Stand together.
Woohoo.